Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Warm word of welcome once again to the house of the Lord. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered in this evening. And as always, it is our prayer that the Lord will meet with us and that the Lord will speak afresh to our hearts tonight. Those that are online as well, wherever you are, may we welcome you in the Saviour's name. And we do pray that the Lord will speak again to you. Do remember today has been the retiring offering for the Building Fund Sunday. And if you have any gifts, then we encourage you to leave them in again this evening. We do commend to your prayers tomorrow for the outreach just before the local parade commences here in the village. And it is our prayer that the Lord will bless and even use the distribution of those tracts, and that the Lord will speak through them and souls will be dealt with. And then on Wednesday night, our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study will be here in the church at 8 p.m. And we do invite and encourage young and old alike to be making that effort every Wednesday evening to come and to study God's Word and to seek the Lord in prayer. And Mr. Ronnie McLean from our Roma congregation will be conducting that service this Wednesday evening. Then the services at normal times next week of 11:30 and 7 p.m. with the seasons of prayer before both of the services. And Mr. Stephen Nelson, no stranger to you here in Six Mile Cross, as he finishes his time in Bible College, he'll be along to conduct both of the services next Sunday. And we do pray that the Lord will bless him, the Lord will use him even next week, and the Lord will even send his word, even through your brother Nelson, to the congregation here. As we mentioned this morning, after the outreach tomorrow, I'll be off for the next number of weeks on holiday. And if there are any pastoral needs or any pastoral emergencies, we do encourage you to contact a member of the session, and then they'll get in contact with the minister who's looking after the church at this time. And do remember the services as they continue over the weeks to come. And we do encourage you, if you're not away at all yourself on a time of holiday, then do support and come and hear God's servants week by week as they minister in the Word. Can we just give you an early announcement in relation to the Holiday Bible Club? On Thursday, the 12th of August, the Thursday before the Bible Club commences, we will be doing the outreach, doing the leaflet drop around both Bear and Six Mile Cross for the Bible Club. And so even if you can set that evening aside so that that outreach and those leaflets can be distributed amongst the homes. Keep an eye as well, if you have Facebook, on Facebook, the church page. And hopefully in the next number of weeks we'll have the advert will be posted there as well. And those that are able, if you can share that and let others know of the Holiday Bible Club as it comes up in the month of August. And then one final announcement again on behalf of our Bushmills congregation. If you happen to be on the North Coast during the week commencing Monday the 19th of July, if you're up for that week, they're having a drive-in mission and they'd love to see you along. You'd be made more than welcome to go along to those services Monday to Friday at 8 p.m. each evening. And if you're not able, if you're not up that way, then certainly do pray for it, that the Lord will bless and will prosper the going forth of the gospel. So we're going to commence our worship now. We're turning in our hymn books this evening. Our first item of praise is the hymn 192. The hymn 192, you'll find it on the page 253. O Word of God incarnate, O Wisdom from on high, O truth unchanged, unchanging, O light of our dark sky. 192, please. And let's stand as we sing. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer at this stage, please. Each and every one, let us still ourselves in the presence of God. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. We do confess the name of Jesus Christ as our own and our personal Saviour, as that great mediator between God and man. We do confess that there is no other name that we can present to Thee. There is no other name that we want to even speak about. It is the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow at. It is the name of Jesus that every tongue shall confess, that He alone is Lord. We do rejoice, O God, in our Saviour. He is the great King of Kings. He is the great Lord of Lords. He is the sole King and head of this church. We bless Thee for Him, the One who loved us and who gave Himself for us. We bless Thee, O God, this night for our standing in Christ. We bless Thee this night that our Saviour stands for us. We thank and praise Thee for this glorious truth. We think even of Stephen as he was about, O God, to be martyred for the faith. And yet his eyes saw into glory. And he saw the Saviour at the right hand of the Father, standing there for him. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that our Saviour is there in glory even now. What a blessing to know that our Saviour prays for us. What a blessing it is to know that our Saviour communes with His Father on our behalf. We thank Thee this night for the great Advocate that He is. We thank Thee this night that He has promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. He's promised this night to ever have us and to ever keep us. Lord, we do come to Thee rejoicing this night in salvation. We do rejoice, O God, this night we're not just saved for this life. But, O God, we're saved and we're safe for all eternity. We praise Thee for this glorious truth, that each and every one that has repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in Christ and in Him alone, they have that sure foundation upon which to stand. O God, we come to Thee even this night and we want to seek Thy blessing and Thy help upon our gathering together. Lord, it is pointless to gather to this house unless the Lord of the house comes amongst us. We come, O God, with that desire to worship and to praise Thee. We come with that desire, O God, to hear Thee, to hear Thy word. And so, O God, minister to every heart, even now. May there be that preparation of heart. May there be that preparation of mind. O God, that Thou wilt still our hearts this night, that we will be still and know that Thou art God. O come and minister to our needs at this time. Thou knowest the individual need. Thou knowest the collective need of this congregation. O Father, work, we pray Thee. And even through each and every life, glorify Thy Son. Lord, we thank Thee for the grace of God towards us. We thank Thee that that grace, it never ends. And that grace, O God, we can testify of each and every day of our lives. We thank Thee for that glorious grace. The grace, O God, that has come to us. We praise Thee for it. Lord, remember every family. Remember, O God, our elderly in these days. We think of those, O God, whose time of coming with us to this house. Lord, that time has passed, and we pray that Thou will continue to be with them. We pray, O God, that Thou will continue to minister to them. We thank Thee for Thy hand upon them. We thank Thee, O God, for this faith that they have in Thee. Lord, we ask that Thou will continue to presence Thyself with them. Remember, O God, every one that is still able to come. We thank Thee for our elderly, Lord, that are still able to gather with us. We praise Thee for the temporal mercies, O God, and Thy hand of mercy upon them, even in their health. And continue to bless them and to be with them. Remember every family. Remember, O God, every couple. Remember every young person. Remember every individual. O God, meet each one at the very point of their need. Bless over this summertime. We think of the children of our Sunday school We think of those that were always in our children's meetings. We think of those in the schools. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt watch over them. We pray that Thou wilt keep them safe. And even as the efforts are made, oh God, in the Bible club, Lord, that we will see those children coming in under the sound of Thy word. That we will see children being dealt with, oh God, by the Holy Ghost. And they will be brought even in to the family of God. We think of parents, we think of families. Oh God, once that came to this church, once that had even that desire to have their children brought up under the sound of Thy word. And yet they've, oh God, wandered into the far off fields. Oh God, have mercy upon them. And work in their hearts once again. And draw them back unto Thyself. Oh God, remember every faithful witness of Thine. Lord, we think right across this land. We think down into the south. We think in the mainland. In the Isle of Man, oh God. We think right across the world. All of the efforts that are made, oh God, to preach forth Thy word. To present the gospel of Christ. Oh, that Thou wilt bless, and that Thou wilt own, that Thou wilt use them. And oh God, that Thy church will continue to be built. That souls will be saved. That men and women's lives will be dramatically and gloriously changed. Oh Father, we think of the needs in our land. Lord, we think of the needs even in these very days in which we're living. Oh God, that Thou wilt have mercy. That Thou wilt come and breathe upon this nation once again. Oh God, give us days of revival. But we acknowledge, oh God, before Thou canst work in a land, Thou must first of all work in Thy church. Minister to our hearts. Break us, oh God. Melt us. Mold us and fill us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. Oh, come even this night. Work in every heart, we pray Thee. Glorify Thy Son, even in this building. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read some verses this evening from 1 Samuel and chapter 3. In the book of 1 Samuel and chapter number 3. Commencing at the opening verse of the chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and the verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place. His eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." He ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." He said, "I called not." "Lie down again," and he went and lay down. The Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt speak, or thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." The Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel, and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." He said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and didn't let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Amen. And we do pray that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. 497, and we'll sing together at this time. The page is 376. The hymn 497, "Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. By thine atoning blood, O make me clean." 497, and we'll stand after the introduction, please. As always, those high notes, anybody that can hit them, I commend you, because there are some notes I never hit until I meet the Lord. Let's have our Bibles open, please, in 1 Samuel 3. I said this morning, I want to look at this passage, or look at the topic this evening. God is speaking. Is anyone listening? God is speaking. Is anyone listening? Let's have a moment's prayer, please. Let's ask the Lord even for that help to be given as we come around His Word. Heavenly Father, God, we ask Thee this night that even through Thy Word that Thou wilt speak afresh to us. We've read these verses together. We look even by the end of the passage as Samuel, even as the Lord calls and speaks to him, those words are uttered, "Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth." Oh, that Thou wilt come and that Thou wilt speak to each one of us this night. And O God, that we will have our ears and our hearts open to Thy Word. Give grace to receive Thy Word. Give grace to preach Thy Word. Empty us of self and of sin. Fill us with Thy Spirit. And even through the preaching of Thy Word, glorify the one at Thy right hand. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. A number of weeks ago, I was attending the ordination and installation of the Reverend Wilkerson in our Londonderry congregation. After that service was over, I was speaking to an old friend who is an elder from one of our congregations just outside of Belfast. I was catching up with him, hadn't seen him in quite a while. And of course, with all conversations nowadays, at some stage the conversation will come round to COVID, to the virus, to the restrictions, to everything in that regard. If you haven't seen someone in quite a while, at some stage the conversation usually comes round to it. And as we were speaking, of course, over the last number of weeks, we have seen, primarily, of course, you see in England, the restrictions they have, and then there's deadlines, there's dates, and then those deadlines and dates sometimes, and they have got moved at different occasions. And of course, there's always that build-up you're expecting, right, we're going to come to a certain date, and then ABC is going to be lifted, and then maybe there might be a spike, and then it's a case of, no, it's being moved down the road a bit, there's going to be a few more weeks, or maybe a few more months. And as we were speaking, he said something which really caught my attention. He says, maybe it's the case that God, through all of this virus and even through the delay and the lifting off the restrictions, maybe God's still trying to speak to His people. But as of yet, they still haven't been listening. And so the restrictions continue. You know, when he said that, that immediately sparked a thought within me. And I couldn't shake it. And from that then, my mind and my heart was drawn to this passage in 1 Samuel 3. Whenever God sought to speak to Samuel, but each time that God sought to speak to him, Samuel, he didn't get him. Every time God called, we read the passage this evening, three occasions, Samuel was called and Samuel kept going to the wrong person. It took until the fourth time, the fourth attempt of trying, before God finally got the attention of Samuel. You know, if you remember, I've mentioned this passage before. This is a passage that has been on my mind and my heart for a number of years. It is a passage that I have attempted to prepare sermons from before. Especially around the verse 3, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple where the ark of God was and Samuel laid down to sleep, that the Lord called. I have attempted on a number of occasions to go into the study and to write a sermon and to formulate something. And every occasion that I did that, every occasion that I tried to settle my mind and my heart, I hit a brick wall. Sometimes I managed to maybe get an introduction down in the page, and then I looked at it, I read it, and then I had to throw it in the bin. I couldn't settle, and there was no contentment. And there are other times I just literally couldn't even put one word in a page. But whenever that elder was speaking to me, and as he mentioned it, and the thought process that followed it, I believe there started to formulate and there started to come a very clear message. I believe in this passage, and of course there are a number of different messages, there are a number of different lessons that can be learned, but I believe there is a very clear message within 1 Samuel 3 here for the child of God. And I believe it is a message which is very applicable in these days in which we find ourselves in. I believe God is speaking. I believe God is calling. But the question has to be asked, is anyone listening? You know, we can and we do ask that question of the ungodly. Over this last year, and how much emphasis there has been on death, how much emphasis there has been upon sickness and upon this virus, we sometimes wonder and we sometimes say to ourselves, well, is any of the ungodly sitting up and taking notice? Those that put so much emphasis into the things of the world, into money, and yet we've seen how the economies have just ground to a halt. Those that put so much thought and so much belief into governments or into whatever they want, into themselves even, and yet over this last year, everything has just changed. God has sent warning after warning, even to the ungodly, to teach them of the frailty of life. Teach them of the finality of death. And yet, sadly, even through this pandemic, many in our nation are as hard and as indifferent to the gospel as ever they were. I've noted over the last number of months, after this last major lockdown, as restrictions have started to ease, both across the UK and even in Northern Ireland, there has been that desire, and it seemed to be the media, and all they were interested in was when, and the people were the same, when will the pubs get open? When will the bars get open? When will we be able to gather together, whether it be in a pub garden or whether it be inside? And when can we all have a drink together? And then the last number of weeks is more dates. Now that pubs are open, and now it comes, well, when can we get the theatres open? When can we get the discos open? When can we have all of the gathering together for the concerts, the indoor, the outdoor ones? When is it all safe? And it's all that pleasures of the world. The ungodly still, even though God has been speaking, godly are still longing for the pleasures of the world instead of the Christ of the gospel. God has been speaking, but has anybody been listening? As I said, you can apply that to the unbeliever, but I also believe you can apply that question to the believer. Because when you look at what has happened over this last year, I believe God has been attempting and endeavouring to speak to His people. But who's been listening? There are three things I want to leave with you this evening. I want you to see, firstly, verse number 3, the context. The context for this question. It tells us there, the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. The lamp of God was an actual and a physical lamp within the temple. It was a 7-branched golden candlestick that stood before the veil to the left of the altar of incense. Within that holy place, it was and is the only light that was shining. It was first spoken of in Exodus 25, the verses 31 to 40. That lamp was to be the source of light. That lamp was to be the light even for the priest as he came in and made the sacrifices, made the offerings. Symbolized the light of God's word. And the command had been given to the priests that throughout all of the generations the light was never to be extinguished. That it was their duty as the priests of God that they were never to allow that light to go out. That light was to shine. That light was to shine brightly. That light was to be an, a continuous light shining forth. But the text that states that the lamp's about to go out. Now the light which once shone brightly is very dim, very dull. It's only about a flicker. What once encapsulated that entire area, what once lit up that entire area, and all of the light shone forth, now is just this little flicker in the corner. There's a very real danger of it being just a memory. And that, of course, could be said not only physically off the lamp, but it could be said spiritually of Israel too. The nation that once stood for the word of God shone forth to all of the nations around about them, shone forth that light that they were God's people. Shone forth that light that they were the chosen people of God, that they obeyed the one true living God, that they obeyed His law, that they obeyed His word. That light now was but a mere shadow of itself. The opening verse at the end there, the verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. In other words, it was so rare. God was barely speaking. The one who once came and that glory came down upon the cloud, even that cloud descending upon the temple and upon that tabernacle, even as they made their way through the wilderness, God's presence in the cloudy pillar and the flaming fire, even as it was there day and night, that's now disappearing. It's now precious. The one who used to meet with Moses, then the one who met with Joshua, then the one who was there at the right hand of the judges as they could stood and they contested and contended even for the Lord and for His people. That nation which once said, the Lord, He is our God. That nation that even at the end of Joshua's life they promised that they would follow after the Lord. That nation is now a mere shadow of itself. 1 Samuel 2, the verse 22, it tells us, now Eli was very old, Eli being the priest. Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons did unto Israel, and how they lay with the woman that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. As one generation of the priesthood was growing older, was aging and coming to the end of their ministry, of their life, the next generation was apostatizing. The next generation had abandoned the word of God. Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons, everything that God had set down in His law for them to be priests, everything that set them apart from the ordinary Joe Blogs, as it were, within Israel, everything that they had been commanded to do, they'd abandoned the teachings of God's law. They'd abandoned their duty both before the Lord and also to the people. They were openly living in sin. They were bringing that sin into the house of God. And all we have in reality, whenever they did that, all we have from Eli was a very weak and a very half-hearted effort to reform them, to change them, tells us 1 Samuel 2, the verses 23. And the following, it says there that Eli, he said unto them, "Why do ye these ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress." Second half of 25, it tells us, "Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." In 1 Samuel 3, the verse 13 we read this evening, it says that Eli, this is the Lord speaking, that he had restrained them not. Eli had tried in his old age, but he didn't have much fight in him. That fight within Eli as a priest to preserve the holy things of God, to preserve the holy place of God. That fight, that desire even to stand for the God-ordained means of worship, that fight had gone out within Eli. He had said a few words to his sons, and his sons had just basically laughed him off. They just ignored him. So he gave up. So what led then and what followed was the sins of those in the authority in the church. Led them to sin in the church. Because here we have, even by the words of Eli, he says in that verse, he says it is, in the verse 24, "Nay, my sons, it is no good report that I hear. You're making the Lord's people to transgress. Your own actions are causing others to stumble. Your own actions are causing others to fall away from following after the Lord." And so then the people in the church are sinning. What that led then was to the people in society sinning. Society had looked to the priest, to the attendants in the temple, they saw their sin. Instead of the congregation then raising up a voice against even those in authority because they were sinning, instead of society saying that's not right, no, they just all accepted it. The congregation joined in. Instead of admonishing them, they accepted them. And the light's getting darker. It's getting darker. It was not a picture of the United Kingdom 2021. The light of the gospel, many churches and denominations, is burning very low. And sadly, for some, extinguished. For some denominations, for some churches across the United Kingdom, God's already removed the candlestick. Sin has been brought in by those in authority. Standards have fallen. Decisions and rulings are made. What once was unthinkable is now the norm. You know, I look at this passage in 1 Samuel 3 and I think of Aaron, the priest, the first priest that God ever ordained to that ministry, to that office. I think of how Aaron held and understood, and whenever he was made that priest, and all of the clothing that was put upon him and the meaning of each part of it, the Urim, the Thummim, and even those parts that were placed in at his heart. I wonder what Aaron, the priest, would have said. If you were able to go to him and you were able to say, "Aaron, number of generations from now, your descendants are going to be involved in such wickedness even within the holy place." And then I thought of John Wesley. And I thought in this last week of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, a man who went thousands of miles on horseback to preach the gospel everywhere. He set up orphanages. He set up that entire denomination of the Methodist Church. He preached the gospel. Yes, we don't agree in all of his theology, but he preached the gospel and he loved the Lord. I wonder if you could go back in time and tell John Wesley in a number of generations, 84% of your denomination are going to vote for same-sex marriage. I wonder what John Wesley would say. John Wesley, just 16% are going to raise a whimper like Eli. Do you think John Wesley would have believed you? As he looked around in his day and generation, as he went everywhere preaching the gospel, not light shining brightly, you had the Wesley brothers, you had Whitfield, going all over England, going further afield. That light which once shone brightly continues to grow dim. The sins of the church, the sins of the clergy are causing the people to transgress. You know, there's a man back in the 1900s, the name of Dr. Kenneth McFarland. He's an educational consultant and conservative speaker in America. He was employed by General Motors to go around the country speaking to young people in different conferences, seeking to encourage them. One occasion he wrote in the Chicago Daily News. I couldn't get the exact date of when this was penned, but I believe it was in around the 1950s, 1960s. He said this: "We have educated our heads and our hands, but not our hearts. Never before have so many Americans possessed college degrees. Never before has there been so much wealth per capita. Never have we been so physically comfortable. And yet never have we lived under such tension. Never have so many of our people occupied hospital beds with mental illness. Never have we felt so insecure. Never have we felt so close to a general failure of the human spirit. Never have we been so close to moral bankruptcy. One does not need to be a theologian to know that the person who will keep sane, happy and balanced under this extreme stress of modern living must enjoy an active partnership with one who is higher than he." Surely those words, as I said, I believe it's in around the 1950s, 1960s, he penned it. And yet surely those words are applicable today. With all of the money we have, with all of the education that people have, with all of the comfortable living that people have, and yet look at the moral bankruptcy. Look at the state of our land, look at the state of our nation today, and how much do we not need that light to be shining brightly? In the context of this call, I want you to see secondly the calling itself. Because it's wonderful, even as that light grows darker and grows dimmer, ere the lamp of God went out, God never let it go out. Because then God spoke. You see, in the verse 4 it says, "That the Lord called Samuel." Thank God he always has his man. He never leaves himself without a witness. Now it is believed at this stage of Samuel's life, Samuel's only a boy of 12. He's only a mere child. As verse 7 teaches, he doesn't know the Lord yet. It says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. This was not a boy that was saved at this stage, but this was a boy that was saved. In other words, he was converted and called in the exact same night. Just as Saul of Tarshish on the road to Damascus was converted and called in the same day, so was Samuel converted and called in the same night. But already even this young lad, he's only a boy of 12. And yet we can already see godly characteristics in him. We can already see something of how the Lord in his common grace had blessed him and had undertaken for him up until this point. Because here was Samuel, where did he live? He lived in the temple. Who did he live with? He lived with Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas. Eli's an old, old man. Barely able to see. And yet even there in the temple with all of the influence of Hophni and Phinehas, yet Samuel never joined him. Those two older men, as it were, and all that they were involved in, and yet every single day he was around them, but yet never once did he join them. He looked upon them and then he turned away. He was always separated from them. We see also he was always faithful and fervent in his work for Eli. Because who's the closest one to you, Eli? Who's the one that puts Eli to bed, as it were, every night? It's Samuel. And whenever the call comes out and Samuel believes it's Eli, who immediately gets up? It's Samuel. And who gets up the second time? It's still Samuel. Who gets up the third time? It's Samuel. Samuel's there, and whatever Eli needs, Samuel is willing to do it. Even that moment whenever God calls. God needed a man. God needed one to step forward ere that lamp went out. God saved and called Samuel. You know, it's wonderful whenever you consider it. God had ordered and ordained all the circumstances at that particular time. As he sought to get the attention of Samuel. Every single part up until that point was all working in the providence of God to bring it to that very moment, that very night, when God in his ordained will had Samuel in that exact place to call him. And surely we can say over this last 18 months, God has ordered and ordained all of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. I believe he's seeking to speak with, he's seeking to work changes within his people. Just as Moses was called out of the burning bush, and then set on a different path altogether, so God is calling us. God is seeking to make changes in us. Just as Saul was called out of that blazing light at noonday, changed completely, so too is God seeking to come and call us. God called Samuel. The great mercy was that God was so patient. He was so long-suffering. He called Samuel. He had to call him then four times. He calls Samuel, and look what Samuel does. He calls the first time. Immediately Samuel, he hears the voice, and he gets up and he gets running and he moves. But Samuel goes to the wrong person. He goes to the wrong place. He goes back and he lies down. The voice comes again, Samuel. And again he hears the voice, he hears that call of his name. And once again he's running to the wrong place and he's running to the wrong person. God comes again. You know, I wonder how many Christians does that sum up over these last 18 months? God's been calling His people. Many children of God have consistently run to the wrong person. And many Christians have run to the wrong place. Over these last 18 months, many Christians have spent more time in social media than in the Scriptures. As restrictions have lifted, and many times have Christians run to the coffee shop before they've come to church. As I said, there's a number of occasions spoken to different individuals. You get the general sense of what the numbers are attending church across our denomination. Of course, I'm not in those churches every week. I'm in this church. Our attendance is down. And I look at the prayer meeting. Every week I encourage young and old alike to come to the place of prayer. But our prayer meeting attendance is down. It used to be the case our prayer meeting numbers would have been mid to high 20s. Good night, you could have had over 30. Most midweeks now, it's just about the high teens. I've looked as well over the last, and observed over these many months since we've been open, individuals that once prayed never pray. They're silent. I look as well, and of course there are genuine reasons why some people have not yet come back. Genuine reasons, health reasons, why individuals have not been able to join with their local assemblies, with their local congregations to fellowship. But I know for a fact there are those that are using COVID as an excuse. And it is an excuse. I've spoke to individuals and I've asked them, well, do you tune in? And there are those that never miss. There are those that never miss. And there are others that have never yet tuned in. Or else it's just one here, one there. They'll run anywhere. But God's calling them. And I look around and I think to myself, why is it Christians? And I'm looking in my own flock here. And I know other men are looking around their churches and we wonder, those that were on the fringes before even this COVID started, will we ever see them again? And I look at God's people that once came to the prayer meetings faithfully week by week. And maybe now they'll come on a Sunday or maybe just a Sunday morning. And I've never seen them at the prayer meeting yet since the doors opened midweek. And then I remember their voices that they used to pray. And I haven't heard them. Why is it today, right across the Church of Christ, more Christians are listening quicker to the media than to the minister? They're listening to a podcast, but not a preacher. God has changed everything around us. God has called, is calling His people. Because if we are honest with ourselves, if we cast our minds back before COVID ever began, how much of our heart was it a case of just Sunday we'll go to church, We'll put on the suit, we'll put on the dress, and we'll just go there and we'll just have our time in church and we'll go home again. It just became the norm. But it never worked and thrilled our hearts. Individuals were just coming and going. And yet God seeking to speak to His people, God seeking to work in people and saying, look, just coming and going. That's not what my people are for. Just coming and going, that's not what I'm looking for my people. I'm looking for my people to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm looking for my people to have that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm looking for my people to have that love. And the Lord, maybe before COVID ever started, would have had to say, I've somewhat against thee, thou have left thy first love. I wonder what God would say now. You know, maybe it's a case you don't believe that God would ever actually speak to you. Maybe you come and you've went from meetings and you think to yourself, no, God would never actually speak to me individually. God would never actually come and speak to me personally. Maybe that was Samuel. Samuel heard the voice and he knew, well, it has to be Eli. Surely it has to be Eli. Who else would ever speak to me? Never once did he think God would speak to me. He hears that voice on those occasions. He kept going to Eli and he says, thou didst call me. It had to be you. Couldn't be anybody else. You know, some Christians have that mindset. God would never speak to me as an individual. God would never come and actually speak to me personally. And Eli eventually understands God's calling you. God wants to speak to you, Samuel. Let me say this tonight. There's not one child of God that is insignificant to God. If you're here tonight and you're saved, never one for one minute ever think you're insignificant to God. If God chose you, Christ died for you, the Spirit of God regenerated you, if you're justified by the blood and you're adopted into the family of God, then using the words of Peter, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. If God set His love upon you, never for one minute think that you're insignificant. Even as the light is growing dimmer in our land, God is still seeking to speak to His people. Even as the moral bankruptcy happens all around us and laws are changed, never for one minute think, well, God's just packed up and He's left. God is still speaking to His people. And He still wants to speak to them. Thirdly and finally, my time's gone, but I want you to see in the verses 10 and 11, The communication. It tells us there in the verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. Now there's a wonderful detail that's mentioned here in these verses for the first time. This is, as I said, the fourth time of calling. Four times the Lord called. But there's only the fourth time you get a wonderful little detail. You see, whenever Eli understood what's the Lord calling him, that third occasion, as Samuel left him, and he said he prepared his heart. Samuel went and lay down in his bed, and Samuel says, if the Lord in His mercy is going to call me again, then I am going to say, speak, Lord. I am now ready and willing. I am now waiting for the Lord. If He in His mercy will just speak to me one more time, I am going to listen. So you have a wonderful detail put in. God's presence. You notice that there in the verse 10 it says, the Lord came and He stood. Every other time all it says is God's voice. But the occasion whenever the Lord actually gets speaking to Samuel and Samuel is listening, God's presence is felt. God's presence is noted. God is now there with Samuel standing before him. He calls Samuel's name twice. Samuel responds immediately and positively to the Lord. God speaks to him. What follows is both encouragement and indeed judgment. Begins with those words there in the verse 11, I will do a thing in Israel. God's going to work. God's going to move. But firstly, you must deal with sin. What you have then in the following verses is God's judgment. Notice before God can ever deal or God can ever work in a nation or God can ever move in a nation, judgment begins in the house of God. Eli and his family will be removed. Samuel will be elevated and now he is God's servant. He is the prophet to the people. He will be the last great judge of Israel. He will be the first great prophet. You know, from that night, from that time, whenever God got alone with Samuel and Samuel's ears and heart was open, Samuel was never the same again. That little boy of 12, oh, he's only a child. But God came, God saved him, God spoke to him, God called him. And even from that very moment, you look at those closing verses, what does it say? Verse 19, Samuel grew. The Lord was with him. Verse 20, all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet. All after God called and Samuel listened. See, when God speaks and His people listen, and they pay attention to God's word, when they come with their hearts ready and receptive, God works in them, God changes them, and they're never the same again. And another thing, they never forget it. Notice in the verse 15 it tells us there, Samuel lay until the morning. It doesn't say Samuel slept. I don't believe he did. How could anybody sleep after God speaks to them? See, that's the difference. People fall asleep in church. Because God's not getting their attention. They come every week to the house of the Lord and they say, well, the Lord is in the house. And the preacher gets up and preaches and he claims he has a message from the Lord. And yet God can't get the attention of the people. Why? Because they're sleeping. Samuel couldn't even sleep. And he gets up the next morning, he opens the doors. Eli then calls him over and he says, what did the Lord say to you? Do you notice the words that are there in verse 18? He's able to tell Eli every whit, every part. There's not one word that God spoke to Samuel that he ever forgot. There's not one thing that the Lord had imparted to him, that the Lord had revealed to him, that he ever forgot. Simple application. Whenever you go home from God's house, talk over what you heard. Too many individuals, whenever they get round the dinner table or the supper table, they never once speak about God's word. And yet here was Samuel, he got up the next morning. He hadn't forgot one word. And he was immediately able to speak and to talk about it with Eli. You know, it's a wonderful end to the chapter. It's a wonderful testimony also of the impact that one individual can make in their community when they listen to God. God called. Samuel eventually listened. And the entire community was blessed. What did the verse 1 say? The word of the Lord was precious. In those days there was no open vision. God barely spoke. What does the last verse say? The verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. And the Lord revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. All of the congregation in Shiloh was blessed. Why? Because Samuel listened when God spoke. You think and you apply that then to Six Mile Cross. We long that this community would see the move of God and that God's word would once again be blessed in this area. We long that wouldn't just be the ones and twos, but rather this community as a whole would come to a greater understanding of God. You look at the change that was made in Shiloh when one, listened to God when he spoke. God called, Samuel answered. Everything changed. Child of God, even tonight, in the days that lie ahead, may we listen when God speaks to us. I have no doubt in my mind God is trying to speak in these days, not only to the lost, but to his own people. Don't run to the wrong person. Don't run to the wrong place. When God speaks, listen. And even may our hearts be like that of Samuel's. Speak, Lord. For thy servant heareth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, O God, for thy mercy. Lord, we see it there, even towards Samuel. In the many occasions that thou didst call him, thou didn't just give up after the first or the second, but thou kept coming back. And, O God, we praise thee even for thy mercy towards us. We confess, O God, how many times we failed thee. We confess, O God, how many times we've ignored thee. Even over these last months, O God, how we've ran to the wrong places. But, O Father, enable us by thy Spirit to give ourselves to thee. Enable us, O God, to listen to thee. And to thee alone, write thy word upon our hearts. Take us this night to our homes in safety. Watch over us, O God, in the days that lie ahead, even until we are next fellowshipping together in this house. Bless each speaker who will come and fill this pulpit. Fill them, O God, with the Holy Ghost. Give them blessed times even around thy word. Bless this congregation. Oh, that even over these next number of weeks, O God, that they will be fed from the finest wheat each and every time that the Word of God is opened. and thy word is proclaimed. Take us now to our homes in safety. In Jesus' name.